So I'm your servant. That's okay, I can live with that. Well, it's good to be back. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's been a long, hard, difficult winter, but spring is finally here. It's weird, my grandsons like to fish, so we got them fishing stuff. So we had to go fishing the day after Christmas in the pond. I live in the subdivision, so it was really weird fishing. Didn't catch a thing, of course, didn't expect to, but there we go. Well, I want to start out with our scripture reading today from Matthew 2. Now, this is the typical scripture reading quite often the Sunday after Christmas, because it's a very important one, very dark, but very important. And after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, I don't know how to pronounce his name, whoever he was real, you know, you aren't the only ones that don't know how to pronounce these words, okay? You know, I've got, you know, 3 years of graduate training. I don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, this guy was ruling Judea in the place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Well, you are, of course, I am sure, familiar with the story, with the Christmas story. Talked about that a little bit already today. The shepherds in the field at night, angels coming and greeting them and singing songs. Imagine hearing angels sing. Perfect harmony. Kind of absent on me. And, of course, the story here, we talked about the wise men come in and we have the nativity deal. You guys don't have a nativity thing here. Sometimes you don't. You have one outside? Okay. Yeah. Some, you know, most churches have them somewhere. I think at Arthur they had like three and had them out in different places. Anyway, so we have Mary and we have Joseph and we have the baby Jesus. We have the innkeeper, all those kinds of things. You're familiar with that story. There's other stories that you're familiar with as well that go along with Christmas. We have Santa, right? And the reindeer, 8 tiny reindeer. And elves, of course, there's elves, and my grandkids tried not to disturb the elf on the shelf. Fortunately, that was not a thing when my daughter was growing up. Anyway, we have drummer boys and on and on and on. We have all these things, all these stories. It wouldn't be Christmas without all these things, whether they're the religious ones or the secular ones. All these are the warm fuzzies that come to us at Christmas time, right? We had at Arthur, they had a barn service on Christmas Eve, and we'd be out in a barn north of town, the Signaler's place. And we'd have about a third of the people there were Amish, which is really fun preaching to an Amish community because, you know, a lot of the things I'm going to talk about today, they just would not because they don't watch TV. But it was really kind of neat. And so we had this one lady who would come year after year from Decatur, apparently. And she came up after the service and she says, you know, I didn't get that warm feeling this year. You know, I didn't have that warm feeling, emotional rush that I had last year. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm not sure I'm responsible for your emotional feelings there. But anyway, you know, those are all the warm fuzzies. You know, it seems without these, Christmas wouldn't work. Right? Christmas just doesn't work without all these things. It certainly didn't work for her, apparently, at that time. Now, you may suspect there is more to the story than just sweetness and warmth and cuddly stuff, because the ornaments get packed away. All these symbols of celebration, the real world creeps back in. Have you ever noticed that after something really amazing spiritually happens in your life, it isn't too long before something really nasty happens and you hit the floor? You know, it doesn't mean somebody dies or anything, or maybe that's the case, but you know, you have this really great spiritual experience and then, boom, you're on the floor. That's just the way it happens. The real world creeps back in. And there's got to be more to Christmas than just those things, right? How does it work? It's got to be more than that. You know, you scratch the surface of any Christmas card, and beneath that you'll uncover greed and selfishness, passion and pain, danger and death. Most of our carols, we sing our carols, but do you realize that there's darkness within a lot of them? Silent night. O little town of Bethlehem. You know, that was written after the Civil War. And the author's name, I was going to look it up, it escapes me. You know, he needed a rest. So he went to Bethlehem and wrote this. So that came out of the great tragedy of war. It is well. Great song, wonderful song. You know, that came out of the tragedy of the author losing his family in a shipwreck. There's darkness inside most of our carols. And then we have this story today of slaughter. I remember I had a Bible. I can't find it. It was one of those that had pictures in it, you know. And I remember seeing the picture of the slaughter of the innocents. It's horrible. It's terrible. How does Christmas really work? Well, to find out, you go to the source of all information, right? The internet. The fount of information. There's a site on the internet called How Christmas Works. Perfect, all right? So, Christmas, we give gifts. Why do people give gifts? Well, people say, well, it started with the wise men. You know, when wise men came and gave gifts. Okay, well, that's okay. But, you know, giving gifts on Christmas really didn't catch on until the late 1800s. At that time, Macy's department store in New York, they decided to stay open late, all, you know, Christmas Eve, so you can get some shopping in, you know, make some more revenue, all those kinds of stuff. And they also had these elaborate window displays at Christmas. Does anybody remember those? I grew up in Peoria. Now, in downtown Peoria, back in the old days, there was Bergner's on this side and there was Carson Peary Scott on this side, and they both had big windows that wrapped around. I don't know if anybody ever been there saw that. They're not there anymore. Anyways, but every Christmas they cover up the windows and they make these great big animated displays. So, you know, the big deal was to go down and see these things. You know, so they had these great big window displays. Okay, so that's that. You know, Christmas giving. You know, it kind of didn't kick up until the late 1800s. Okay, then we have Santa Claus. So we have Santa Claus, we have Saint Nicholas the bishop, but during the Reformation, out of which all of us bring our religious history, they kind of downplayed all the saints, and all the saints were pretty much downplayed except Saint Nick in Holland. He was still a big thing, and so the Dutch brought Saint Nick to New Amsterdam. You know where New Amsterdam was? Some of you know. Interestingly enough, the Dutch settled in this new world as well. We don't think the Germans or the English and the Germans and stuff, but the Dutch settled here, and they had a settlement called New Amsterdam. You know what we call it today? Manhattan. Big mistake. But anyway, so they brought him over, and but Santa wasn't associated with their traditional Christmas until the poem, again, the late 1800s, The Night Before Christmas. And it was used and of course Santa was used in marketing campaigns as well. And then we have December 25th. Why December 25th? Well, you know, we don't really know exactly when Jesus was born. And you know, this is okay. A lot of us have a lot of problem. You know, we got to, you know, it's got to be this thing. Who cares? He was born. That's the big thing. Doesn't matter exactly when. You know, shepherds watch their sheep in the spring. So there's that. But anyway, it was, you know, the Christmas was set in 335 A.D., and the story is a lot of times that it was set there as an alternative to pagan celebrations at that time. There's really no evidence of that. I mean, nobody wrote a letter and says, "Hey, we got to do something because the pagans are doing that here." So we're there's all kinds of there. You know, there's like 25 different winter solstice celebrations around the world. I mean, it's a natural thing. Days get shorter, days get longer. We celebrate the coming of the light. Which is why, you know, hey, it fits. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's celebrate him at that time. So there you go. Mistletoe, nobody knows where mistletoe comes from. I ain't going to go there. The 12 days of Christmas, I kind of wonder about that because, you know, aren't there like 30 days of Christmas? I mean, maybe there's more. It starts right after Thanksgiving, Christmas does, and it goes until, well, it's over now, at least for everything else. We're still in the Christmas season, you know, because there are the 12 days of Christmas. Goes through Epiphany, January 6th. Second Christmas is our Amish cousin. Do you celebrate second Christmas as good Anabaptists? Well, okay. That's all right. I'm on the Illinois Amish Heritage Center board, so I know a whole lot about Amish tradition and heritage. So I was just wondering. I mean, okay. I won't tell anybody down there. Anyway, Epiphany, when tradition says the wise men showed up. You know, these traditions have taken years and even centuries to become what they are today and become such an important part of the Christmas celebration. They're enshrined in our hearts and our minds with these lovely images and customs. And what comes to our minds is that Christmas works through these images, through these customs, through these traditions, through these legends that have evolved over time. That's how Christmas works. Or does it? Or does it? How does it work? How does it really work? Is there a lingering and lasting effect that Christmas has on us that survives past December 25th or January 6th? And so if we want to know how Christmas works, what we do is we kind of strip away some of the other stuff that's associated with it. What could we do away with? And if we did away with this one thing, Christmas wouldn't work. The tree? Could Christmas work without the tree? Yeah. Sure. How about music? Can Christmas work without carols? Presents? Can Christmas work without presents? You know, Christmas almost didn't happen at all. Because beneath this picture of the Holy Family, this lovely picture we have, them going through the snow to Bethlehem, probably wasn't any snow, but anyway, there's another picture. There's a picture that almost overwhelms them, and that's from today's scripture. It's a picture of danger and death. Herod wanted to kill him. And in many ways, it almost didn't happen. What might have gone wrong? First off, we have a 120-mile trip by foot with a pregnant wife with no plans for lodging at all. Maybe going to go visit some relatives, whatever. Jesus was born in a manger, not the state-of-the-art maternity ward by any means. One of the things we do know and we have to understand is back in those days, about one-fifth of the children born, about 20% of the children born did not survive to their fifth birthday. 20% of the population didn't live past the age of five. Mad King wanted to eliminate any competition. Now, as they were going down to Bethlehem, the road goes by a Herodium. Now, Herod, in his craziness, he was Herod the Builder, he built this great big mountain. He actually built a mountain about 1,500 feet high and put a palace on top of it. So there's a palace over there. They called it Herodium. And so this great big mountain with this Herodium is a symbol of his might and his power and who he was, you know, all these great things. And he would spend winters there. So Herod was at Herodium. You know where Herodium is? It's right outside Bethlehem. As they were walking into Bethlehem, Mary carrying the Savior walked in the shadow of that mountain. The symbol of the person wanted to kill him. Think that was scary? Christmas almost didn't come off. And often it doesn't seem to come off for us, does it? Sometimes, in spite of the gifts, the trees, the music, and all these things, we might go through the motions, the presents, the shopping, the food, all the parties. But, you know, that's not Christmas. That's the holidays. Okay, we have to recognize, okay, we have our we have secular Christmas celebration. We have our religious celebration. We as Christians, we celebrate the religious, but we also celebrate in the way secular people do too. That's fine. No problem. That's the way it is. But, you know, that's not Christmas. It's the holidays. And it's okay. Like the wise men, we have to detour around. You know, the wise men, they were told to detour and don't go back to Jerusalem. Detour around all these obstacles. They're okay. Nothing wrong with them. But these things are not things that make Christmas work. We got to look elsewhere to see how Christmas works. So, you know, not in the carols, the presents, either the secular or the religious celebrations that we have necessarily. We have to kind of look around those things. How does Christmas work? There's a couple of things. One, when we realize and we remember that Christmas, now as then, it's a dangerous business. Christmas is dangerous. Many people are threatened by this baby. It's a threat to their plans. Because Christmas evokes dreams and hopes that cannot be met anywhere else than in that child. They can't be met by presents. They can't be met by decorations. They can't be met by those in power. They can't be met anywhere else but that child. And those people who want to have power are threatened by that child. You know, there's a scene in the movie, The Shawshank Redemption, where Andy says to his best friend, these guys are in prison for very long, very long terms. I don't know if you ever saw it. Language is pretty harsh, but it's a pretty good movie. So Andy says to his friend, he says, hope is a dangerous thing. The reality is that we are in here, and hope is out there. Hope is a dangerous thing. You know, that's why revolutionaries and authoritarians attack missionaries. You know, we think, why do people want to kill missionaries? All missionaries want to do is to help people, and they don't care which side they're on. They just want to help people. Well, the reason is because those people in authority don't want hope to come from anywhere else except from them. If you control hope, you control the population. Christmas works when we realize that this child, Christmas, is a dangerous thing. Not necessarily only to those outside. It's dangerous to us as well. Christmas works when we set up the Christ child as the promise and the priority of our lives. When he becomes a priority. You know, every year we take the nativity scene, what do? We pack Jesus away. Come on, let's be serious. Don't we kind of do that in our lives too sometimes? Pack him away? Too often the priority of our lives comes from the false gods of materialism, the idols of ambition, or the demons of self-importance. We have these demons that are constantly in our way, constantly want to be the priority in our lives. I have another movie, you might recall the film, A Beautiful Mind, another great film. The story is about John Nash. It's a true story. He was in England. He was an economist, I think. He eventually became a Nobel Prize winner. But he's crazy. He has hallucinations. He hallucinates people. There's a little child, a couple of people who thinks they're in the CIA or something like that, and he has all these great plans and conspiracies, and they're driving him crazy and they're really in the way of his life. Well, there comes a point where his wife has had enough, and so she packs up the kids and leaves, and he runs out in front of the car and stops the car, and he says, I know they're not real. They don't grow old. Now, to me, this is a brilliant mind indeed, because the guy was in the midst of this psychotic deal. He was seeing people. He was interacting with people. These people were controlling his lives, but he was smart enough to realize they aren't real because they don't grow old. And that was a turning point for him. Now, he continued to see these images, these people, especially this one little girl he seemed to be very fond of. But he continually ignored it. There's a scene where these imaginary people look sad because they no longer have power over him. They don't have the power they used to. Our demons are the same. They're not necessarily hallucinations. But they manipulate us. They play on our emotions. They're impossible to avoid. They block our view of the Christ child. We've got to go around to the demons. Ignore the demons to see Christ, how Christmas works. Christmas works when we allow Jesus to take us into a foreign land. The Holy Family fled to Egypt. When we follow Jesus, we will go to a foreign land. Often we end up in foreign territory, places where we would really rather not be. Obedience to God means taking his hand, letting him lead us into uncomfortable places. Now, there's a story. Mike Iaconelli tells a story about a deacon in his church who just was not deaking. He just didn't do what he was supposed to do as a deacon. One day, he says to this deacon, I have a group of young people who go to the old folks' home and put on a worship service once a month. Would you drive them to the old folks' home and at least do that? Well, the deacon agreed. Now, I kind of wonder why the deacon became a deacon if he wasn't going to deek, but anyway, that's not my problem. So the first Sunday, the deacon he sat at the old folks' home, and he was in the back. You know, he's out back there with his arm folded, you know, just standing back there while the kids were doing their thing up front. And all of a sudden, somebody tugged on his coat sleeve, shirt sleeve. He looked down, and there was this old man in a wheelchair. So the old man tugged on his arm and took his hand. And the whole old man held his hand all through the service. The next month he went back, and the same thing was repeated. The old man held his hand all through the service. And the next month, and the next month, and the next month. Then he went there one day, and the old man wasn't there. The deacon inquired where he was, and he was told, well, he's down the hall, right-hand side, third door. He's dying. And he's unconscious, but if you want to go down and pray for him, that's all right. So the deacon went there, and there were tubes and wires hanging out all over the place. The deacon took the man's hand and prayed that God would receive the man, that God would bring this man from this life into the next and give him eternal blessings. As soon as he finished the prayer, as soon as he amen, the old man squeezed the deacon's hand. So the deacon knew that he'd been heard. He was so moved by this that tears began to run down his cheeks. He kind of stumbled out of the room, and as he did, he bumped into a woman. And she looked at him, and she said, he's been waiting for you. He said that he didn't want to die until he had the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time. The deacon was amazed at this. He said, what do you mean? I don't quite get it. She says, well, my father would say, once a month, Jesus came to this place. He would take my hand, and he would hold my hand for a whole hour. I didn't want to die until I had the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time. Christmas happens when we allow Jesus to take us to unfamiliar territory. Sometimes places where we don't necessarily want to go. Sometimes places that are uncomfortable for us. And there, I will tell you, and I'm sure you can tell me from your own experience, there, miracles happen. Some of the best ministry I've ever done in my life has been done in the most uncomfortable times. Christmas happens when we allow him to use us without restraint, without conditions, without limits. When we surrender to him so completely, we naturally become his hands, and Christmas works. Do you want Christmas to work? Christmas works when you realize that Christmas is a dangerous thing to you. Christmas comes when you realize that it's not all sweetness and light, but Christmas is fierce, fierce and dangerous love. Christmas works when you realize the demons and the idols in your life, we got to conquer them, we got to go around them, we got to ignore them. And Christmas works when we go where God sends us. What makes Christmas work is not the soft fuzzies. It's the hard pricklies. And Christmas does indeed work beyond the holiday, beyond the trees and the carols and the ornaments and the gifts. Christmas works when he really is born in you. Can you pray with me for a second? Gracious God, we're thankful for this time, this Christmas season. But most of all, we're thankful that it does not just fade away. That we do not indeed put Jesus back in storage, but let him grow up in us when we go to places where you send us. When we avoid the demons, when we realize that this holiday is a fierce love. So be born in us again. Grow up. Grow old with us. And make Christmas work through us and in us. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing, Love the Lord.